I'd like to welcome you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our dignity. Now, if I save a soul in the process, don't hold that against me. Let's just call that icing on the cake. Because we're on a mission here at the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. That mission happens to be to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we accomplish this mission with business development, job creation, and service. Every time I turn around, I see new instances of where and why we need to build our own economic foundation, our own economic infrastructure. There's some folks out there that just downright don't like us. That's a bad situation. You have people that just don't like you for whatever reason. It's all irrational. It's hate. It's all kind of isms involved. And then you have to turn around and go to those same very people and ask them for work. Ask them for your own survival. There is something so wrong with that. It is wrong on so many levels. There was an article in the Washington Post I read this week. Cortland Millard did an editorial about a young lady over in sports bar. And the guy just plain wouldn't hire the lady, fired her on the spot because she was not blonde and blue-eyed. There was nothing wrong with her. She had no negatives in her work performance. The guy just wanted a different kind of person working for him. And he fired her. Of course, she sued him. Thank goodness. She won a settlement of $687,000. I think it should have been $6 million or more. But anyway, it just goes to show. Let's not get so hung up on this. Everything is all right, and there's no such thing as racism anymore, that it's all la-di-da, and we can kick our heels and float off into the sunset with the bluebirds singing on our shoulder. Nothing is further from the truth. So that's why it is more important than ever for us to embrace the mission of the Marketing Pulpit, of our own economic empowerment, building our own businesses, creating our own jobs, so we don't have to depend on these clowns like the guy over at this restaurant that got rid of this young lady simply because of the color of her skin. Man, I just think so, man. I want to go down there and start my own little campaign. And this guy does not deserve to be in business, if you ask me. It's just plain out wrong. Go Washington Post and check it out. And a matter of fact, we put it on, I sent out a tweet this week. It's on the Marketing Pulpit Facebook page. So anyway, we got a lot going on today. This is Black History Month. So we're looking to embrace black economic empowerment. And I'd welcome William to the booth.
Good morning, Robert. Good morning to the Marketing Pulpit community. And you said Black History Month, man. It's like, this morning, it was a powerful thing that kind of hit me, man. I did my Maurice White tribute this morning before I left out of here. And those who don't know, Maurice White passed away this week, who is the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, my favorite group of all time. And
Get Away.
That guy.
Mighty, mighty.
The music was so powerful because not only was it great music, it had a great message.
Oh, yeah, with message music.
And that's kind of what's been lost in recent times is, you know, the message has been watered down. It's been kind of frivolous, you know, made to a more frivolous type of situation where, you know, traditionally, especially in the African-American community, we use music even back when we were enslaved. We use music to get the message out there.
Communication. Whether it was singing, whether it was beating on a drum, whether it was playing a flute, a log, or whatever, we use that music, and it has perpetuated itself all the way up to today.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the NWA and people like Gil Scott and all these guys. And then, of course, Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's message music.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to be missed. He's really
definitely
a giant
pioneer, man. Absolutely. Pioneer.
So this is Black History Month, and we will be giving some kudos throughout the month. This is the first Friday of February, and this is the this first Friday will be.
That's right. It's first Friday.
It's first Friday. It's first Friday night. William, you know what? This is our first Friday.
First Friday of 2016.
2016. And we have a very special first Friday in store tonight. We have people have lined up.
I had three people call me this morning.
You know what I think did it, William?
What's that?
The patty pie.
I did. Patty LaBelle's going to be there?
She won't be, but her pie will be. We're having a patty pie party. What's happening, William? This is what happened. I'm going to be explaining the patty pie phenomenon.
Right.
We're going to talk about why and how something as innocuous, as mysterious as a sweet potato pie can become an overnight sensation. And so I figured what better prop to use for this, to explain this phenomenon, than having the actual pie present.
Well, the pie better be good, because you can have all the hype in the world. It's just like a company that's no longer in business that I won't name.
But wait, you know what?
That used to be in Silver Spring.
But you know what, man? I did a taste test of the patty pie. And I must say, I was a little surprised. It was better than I thought.
Okay.
It was better than your average store-bought pie.
So it was getting close to a Southern real deal sweet potato pie.
Now, I probably didn't need to eat the whole pie, but hey, you can't just go on the first slice. You know, the first slice, you might just get lucky and get a good slice.
Well, Robert, you know Lena's here in the booth, so you know you're gonna get it.
I see Lena over there cutting her eyes.
So Henry's was good though.
Henry's pie.
Right here, down the street from us.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, Henry's, we compared it. I did not eat the whole pie, maybe just half, but because I didn't want to eat a whole pie, I didn't eat another whole pie tonight. So. But anyway, if you're not having already, go to marketingpulpit.com. Come out for the first Friday of 2016. We will have patty pie, and we're going to talk about what made this such a phenomenon. And we're also going to talk about, we're going to have Dr. Jillian Berry, author of The Righteous Sin. She's going to be the guest in a few moments, coming up at the 11 o'clock hour.
Oh, wow.
She's going to be out here. And also, we're going to be talking about Black history and how and why you can put your name, your company, in the annals of the Black history book that's being written today. I'm going to give you a quick template on how to tell if you are making Black business history. I'm just going to be filling the blanks. And if you fill in the blanks and it don't add up, then you're not making history.
And Robert, I have a little tidbit on that Black history tip. You know that the new African-American History Museum is going to be opening up in September.
That's right.
In Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And
does it open in when? September?
September.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I spoke with a good friend of mine, Dwight Kirk. He and I worked on a historic poster for the first Obama campaign. And he's talking about, you know, talking to the people over at the museum to get that over there in their museum, because it's in the American History Museum currently.
Mm-hmm.
So a little Black history for you there.
All right. You know, I was talking about earlier, I don't know if you all saw this story earlier about this guy, this restaurant over in D.C. fired this young lady, African-American lady, because she wasn't blonde and blue-eyed.
Hmm.
It was a sports bar, and the guy admitted, and his employees admitted, that he wanted a certain look.
Really?
And he met her for the first time. Somebody hired her without his knowledge.
Oh, okay.
First time he met her, he would not even shake her hand. The lady said he looked at her like she had spit on him.
Wow.
And she found out why, because he wanted a blonde, blue-eyed waitress hired instead.
So all the rest of the waitresses, I guess, were blonde and blue-eyed.
Well, I'm not sure if they all were, but he was trying to get a certain look.
Right.
And that's why, and as I opened up today, I was explaining to the listeners why it is so important that as we go into this Black History Month, and that as we look at this year, and we're looking forward, why we have to build these businesses in our community, because you have people out here that absolutely hate you, and you're turning to them for your survival.
I know.
Something wrong with that.
And considering that this is also a campaign, a presidential campaign election year, more than ever, we need to stand up and have our own backbone in our own community so that we do get respect, because at the end of the day, money is the only thing that some people respect.
All right. I have a Nerf ball, too. Nerf ball. The Nerfs are back. The little blue guys done put on their...
They made it back from way back in the day.
They got on their kente cloth and afros and on
got,
black
got
history.
Got their picks in the hair.
So they've been appropriate for Black History Month. So got a hurt Nerf ball. Now, the winner of this is going to get a book from our author, Miss Dr. Jill, The Righteous Sin.
Okay.
She's giving away a book or two today. So the first person that calls in, and the number, of course, is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. And the question is, name the year of the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, which was passed into law, and matter of fact, I'm going to let the caller call in and tell us what president signed it into law. So this is the Nerf ball question for today. And the first person calls in with the answer, we're going to give them a copy of the book, The Righteous Sin by Dr. Jillian Berry. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876 is the Voting Rights Act. Name the year. And matter of fact, while you're at it, tell them the president that signed it into law. Also, let's, like we said, go to marketingpulpit.com and register for the upcoming First Friday. We have a wonderful, our new Marketing Pulpit host, Coach Howard and Dave Owens. They're going to come out tonight.
Oh, Keith is going to be out.
Yeah, he's coming out tonight. Dave Owens, of course, he's a little celebrity. He was he's a renowned reporter in the Washington, D.C. area. And so now he's on the Washington, on the Marketing Pulpit team. They have a sports show comes on every Saturday at 10 o'clock. Called Extra Points.
And it's a great show, man. I've checked it out, and it's really good.
I got to listen to it. It's on
Blog Talk.
Blog Talk on Saturdays.
You can go to marketingpulpit.com and click on the link. I'm going to give you a quick, so we have a Nerf ball question. What is the year of the Voting Rights Act, and what president signed it into law? And we have a book called The Righteous Sin to the first person to call in. I also have a little asking, are you making black business history? I'm going to give you a quick test. Now, I'm going to hand this out at the First Friday tonight, too, because we're going to discuss this a little more in detail. Just use this template. Let's say that prior to such and such a year, there was no blank, and that's your product or name. But now thanks to my product, certain people have a blank. I know that's a lot to remember. But think about it. Ask yourself, before a certain date, something didn't exist thanks to you. And what is that? Before a certain date, something did not exist thanks to you. It could be a service, it could be a song, it could be a book, it could be a product. But now that it does exist, what audience benefits and how do they benefit? If you can answer that question and fill in all of those blanks, I guarantee you, you are well on your way to making history. Might not be big history. You might not be in the textbooks.
But you know what's funny about
history is relative.
You know what's funny about history, Robert? History, I'm a student of history. I love history. History is one of those things where one thing that appears to be minor on the surface has such a ripple effect.
That's right.
That it would just blow your mind if somebody were to actually create a visual illustration of all the things that attach to that event going into motion.
Well, William, that's exactly why this little test is important, because it might be minor today. That's why I'm saying. I'm not saying how big it is. I'm not telling you to put any number on it, how big it's going to get. But if you have fill in those blanks, you've done something that hasn't been done or like you've done it before, you are well on your way to making history.
That's it.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Alina Seven with What's the Word. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break, and we do have a caller on hold. Hang on, caller.
1450 WOL.
Accidents cleared on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway. We are still with delays north and southbound on the stretch between Maryland 32 and 198. On Interstate 95, southbound crash at Maryland 100, move to the left shoulder. This traffic update brought to you by Lead Safe America. Did you know that childhood lead poisoning costs the American taxpayers more than $50 billion a year? Visit leadsafeamerica.org to learn more. The WOL forecast for today, cloudy with a high near 44 degrees. degrees, clearing tonight with a low of 29, and on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 48 degrees. We're at 38 degrees in Washington. This weather update brought to you by One Loudoun. Live in Loudoun's new downtown, featuring homes only available at One Loudoun. Join their property club to learn about the future of living at One Loudoun. Go to OneLoudoun.com. I'm Angela Foster on 1450 WOL, where information is power.
I'd like to welcome you back on our Marketing Pulpit First Friday. Go to MarketingPulpit.com and get on the list to join us tonight at the monthly networking event where
6 p.m. sharp,
where we network and you can rub shoulders with other business owners of like mind. We're going to have some slice of pie. I mean, don't come out now just for the pie.
There's going to be some good people out there. I spoke with Yolanda Thornton over at the Postal Service.
That's right.
She's going to make it on through and talk about Every Door Direct Mail. And
that's right. She came out one time before. It was very intriguing. And
oh, yeah.
We're trying to bring these resources. I'm going to fill in the blanks for you and give you an example of how history is made. I gave a little template, and we're going to bring this to the First Friday. I'm going to give everybody a copy, and you can tell right away if you're in the process of making history. So I'm going to say, I'm going to use myself as a guinea pig. I'm going to say prior to, here's the blank, May of 2010, there was no, another blank, Marketing Pulpit. Now, thanks to my, another blank, radio show and networking event, then another blank, which is the intended audience, business owners have a resource for achieving business success and creating jobs. So think about your own business. Think about where you are in life. Do you want to be among the business owners or just people in general, whether you're starting an organization, a nonprofit, starting a business, introducing a product to the marketplace, have a great idea, a book, a record, a song, or are you making history? And history is not determined by usually us today.
Mm-mm.
But you can't make history if you don't start with these steps, with a date, a product, or an idea, and it has to have an audience and it has to benefit somebody. So what we want to do today is not just sit here and revel about the people who've made history. We need some new history makers.
Right. We need to be a part of it.
That's right.
Get into the game.
I'm tired of just reading about other people's history. I want to be part of history.
Yeah, you have to get into the game.
All right.
Put some skin in.
We have Gwen. Gwen, welcome to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show.
Thank you.
Gwen, where are you calling from?
D.C.
All right. Is it snowing over there, Gwen?
No. Okay. Now it's not.
I bet Gwen don't want to see any snow either because, man, they had it rough over there doing that last one. Woo!
Yes, we did.
Some of them still just getting dug out. No,
It was a mess. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful, yes, indeed.
Yeah,
we
love
it. We need the snow and everything else to make the world go round.
Kill all those germs in the air.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Brings it out of the air down to earth. We like Gwen already. Gwen, you calling with answer to our Nerf ball question?
If my memory serves me correctly.
I know you don't remember now. You don't sound like you were around back then. We're just going to assume you're a good student of history. How about that?
Well, thank you for not noticing.
Gwen, let's have it. What's the answer? The question is, what year was the Voting Rights Act enacted, and who was the president that signed it into law?
Okay. I believe it was President Eisenhower, and I believe it was 1957.
Ooh. Well, you got wrong on both accounts.
Oh.
I mean, my memory didn't serve me.
Gwen, you were... I was going to give it to you if you got one of them right.
Oh, well.
But, Gwen, thank you anyway. But I tell you what I want you to do, Gwen. I want you to leave your information with the engineer. I'm going to send you something, okay? I'll find something around here we can send you just for calling in, okay?
It's a deal.
All right, Gwen.
Thank you. All right, folks. I love your show.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you very much. Hey, Gwen, she tried, though.
She tried.
I'm going to go back and
made
look.
A valid attempt.
She sounded pretty sure, too. I'm going to go back and check my notes. Gwen sounded like she...
Yeah, which one you got?
That one threw me off.
She sounded like she knew, didn't she?
Yeah, because...
Well, Gwen, we love you. Thank you for calling in. All right, folks, the question is still on the table. What's the year and the president who signed in the Voting Rights Act? It's a landmark piece of legislation that pretty much, I don't see guaranteed the right to vote, but it moved quite a few obstacles, and it still has been, I think it was updated last in 2002 on the, I think it was 2006 under George Bush.
Isn't it kind of a trip that they have to keep updating the right? Well, it's almost like, okay, on one end, you're a citizen, but on another end, you have to keep getting your voting rights re-updated as if you're not a citizen.
And then you got you have these racist people down like in North Carolina where Reverend William Barber and my brother Curtis Gatewood are fighting these guys tooth and nail to turn back some of these policies they put in place when there was, they found a loophole in this particular law.
Right.
Because it had to be renewed every so often, and so they found a loophole now. And the racists came out of the woodwork. We have Ronald on the show.
Ronald. I know Ronald has it.
Ronald.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Where are you calling from, Ronald?
It's from Washington D.C.
Washington D. is in the house today.
Washington's in strong full effect mode.
That's right. It was 1965. And the president was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Hey. All right.
Ronald,
you nailed it.
Ronald, the nurse over here, the smurfs over here cutting flips. Their afro wigs are falling off. And hey, man. Hey, Ronald, thanks a lot. Man, I tell you what, we got a book for you, The Righteous Sin by Dr. Jillian Barry. She's going to be coming on the show in a few moments. So,
Awesome.
By all means, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
And give your information to the engineer. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you can make it out tonight, we'd love to have you come out and meet and greet us.
All right.
Super.
All right, Ronald. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for listening to the show.
Bye. Right.
Ronald, knock it out, boy. Ronald, put it out of the park. Uh-oh. Pam, welcome to the show.
Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Pam, don't be crying over there, because sometimes... Dry your tears.
Ronald had fast fingers.
Exactly. Look, I'm fumbling trying to get the number. I'm like, I got the answer.
You had the answer. Did you have the answer, though?
Yeah. Is it Lyndon Johnson, 1964, Act of 1964?
Oh, see, you messed it up anyway. You got half of it. But this book, this is so popular, and this book is so good. You can't do it either or. Now, you can't run down the scale and say 64, 65, 66, 67.
All right.
Hey, Pam, thanks for calling, though, okay?
All right,
then. Thanks a lot. All right. Well, Pam tried. She had the president right, but it was 1965. Ronald hit it, and I'd like to thank Ronald for calling in. He wins a copy of The Righteous Sin by Dr. Jillian Barry. Lena Seven?
Yes.
What is the word? What's going on?
Oh, man, so much going on.
Lena had to catch her breath, so much going on.
Right.
You know, this week has been, like, really crazy, you know? One day I'm on one side of the town, the other day I'm on the other side of the town. But anyway, by the way, Robert, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but I was leaving work the other day, and I happened to be on Palmer Road at about 7:10 a.m.
Oh, when that young lady, oh my goodness, you actually almost witnessed it?
What happened was I came and police came and immediately cut me off, and I was right there, and I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? You know, I mean, it was like confusion for a minute, but anyway, I didn't get a chance to tell you that. I thought that was like very, and I didn't find out what happened until later on. I knew something had gone on, but I was en route to a client. So, you know, it was really, really sad.
The incident with the young lady
on
Palmer
Road and her daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A young man killed his girlfriend, the father of his child, and he killed the mother of his child, and he killed a 2-year-old child in her car seat. And it's really just unimaginable horror that this young family, young lady and her daughter went through, and her family
horrifying.
And her survivors. And really prayers go out to her surviving
family. Yeah. Yeah. Horrifying. The other thing real quick is I had to do a story this week on Golden State.
Yeah, and I read that. It was a good story.
But anyway, I had to do some research about something else that I'm covering. And so they were asking me, Alina, try to find out, you know, if you can, about what makes Steph Curry, what makes him so accurate. And so he basically said the reason why is because when he is when he is on his own, he wears some type of goggles or something that distorts his vision. Mm-hmm. So all he can do is make his shots by feel and not by his vision.
Ah.
Okay. I thought that was like, I was like, okay, so maybe that's what it is.
He's in kind of like a rhythm type of thing where he already knows in his mind's eye where the basket is.
Where the he goes by feel. So it doesn't matter whether you cut him off to the right, cut him off to the left, you do, you know, some sort of screen or, you know, on it. It just doesn't matter. He's going to get up, and even if his body is tweaked in one in a certain capacity, he's going to make that shot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was like real, real interesting to find that out. You know, Robert, I was just saying that Steph Curry said the reason why he's so accurate is because he shoots his jumpers and his threes with goggles.
What?
He distorts his vision so that he completely relies on his feel and not his vision.
Wow. So it's almost like he's using radar.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I need some goggles.
Yes. Interesting. So anyway, so one fitness term, you know, I've been dealing with this whole metabolism for like the last month and a half. So one thing I want to talk about, and a lot of people don't realize, is BMR. Who knows what that is?
BMR.
BMR.
Bowel movement.
No, right?
That's great.
Body mass.
No, it's called basal metabolic rate. Okay.
Okay, I did.
BMR, but it's something that you should know because did you know that the human body requires a significant amount of energy just to function each day? Okay. So each day, in order to breathe, blink, circulate blood, control body temperature, grow new cells, support brain and nerve activity, and contract your muscles. Okay, so just staying alive requires an amount of energy, which means that it burns calories every day, which is why when we don't gain everything we eat, right? Because that's what it takes. Well, your BMR is also something that gives you some information, and it's critical to kind of know that because then you know how many calories you should eat.
All right, Lena Sam, hold that thought. We're going to finish up after the break. This is the Marketing Pulpit. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Jill DeRicious. And folks, you got to listen to this interview. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
1450 WOL.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Kids are going to get bumps and bruises as they grow up. It's part of being a kid. But we can protect kids from serious injuries. Did you know that preventable injuries are the number one cause of death for children in the United States? But the thing about preventable injuries is that they're preventable. This is a problem we can fix. There are little things we can do so kids can grow up to do big things. Learn more at safekids.org.
WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. This is a Black History Friday. We're also having the first Friday networking event tonight at 6 o'clock over at BLE Executive Suite. BLE is one of our sponsors. If you're looking for an office, looking for a place to hang your business hat, then join this sister who is making her own history. Call them at 301-322-1700 or go to BLESuites.com. Location is one of those important four P's of marketing, and if you don't have a good location, even if just for the hour, then you may be missing out on the that big contract. They have offices, they have suites, they have training rooms. Call them at 301-322-1700 or go to BLESuites.com. Lena Seven was giving us what's the word. After that, we're going to bring on Dr. Jill, this righteous sin, talking about women in the church doing what? Wait a minute. Hold on. Toys? What kind of toys? You mean like cat pistols, bicycles, rubber ducks? I don't know. Anyway, hold on there. We're going to be with her in a moment. Lena Seven?
Yes. Okay, so let's just get back real quickly to BMR. Okay, so BMR is just important because it's the number of calories reflects how much energy your body requires to support its vital body functions. Okay, so that's why it's just kind of critical for people to know that, because it tells you what you should be doing when you're exercising and what your body is doing when it's resting. And if you don't really know that, then you don't know whether to take in, can your body can it handle 3,000 calories? Can it handle 2,000 calories? So that's why I thought BMR would be really good to inform people. You can go online. I'm doing this real quick. You can go online and just put the calculation in. It'll ask you for your height, weight, things like that. And then it does a special calculation. I did mine simply because I wanted people to know I'm 5'9", I weigh about 147. So I did my calculation. And so my BMR was 1,402, okay? And then depending upon my lifestyle, whether I'm sedentary or whether I'm active, everyone knows I have a fitness business, so I'm quite active. So you multiply that by 1.725, and that means that every day I need to be taking in at least 2,400. That's 2,418. That's 2,418 calories. And that doesn't mean I won't gain weight. That's just saying that that's what my body needs to function at, to conduct the everyday things that I do. Okay, at 2,400, and I'm pretty much in the ballpark of being my size. Okay, mm-hmm. But if you want to lose weight, obviously you've got to bring that down. But it's kind of good to know, because then it lets you know, well, okay, if I want to lose weight, I know that I should not be eating 2,000, mm-hmm. 500, 2,600 calories. If I want to lose weight, I need to bring it down maybe to 1,900 calories. So it's just...
So quick question, the BMR rate pretty much tells you how many calories you should...
No.
Okay.
No. You have to calculate that depending upon your lifestyle. Once you put the calculation in, it'll register, and then it gives you... And then once you get that number, then you got to multiply it by, depending upon your lifestyle, 1.75, I think they give you that for people who are fitness people, and then it goes on less and less from there. So, and then that lets you know how many calories your body needs on a daily basis to function at its best.
BMR. Okay? Now, what is that?
Not body. Basal metabolic rate.
All right.
Yeah.
Go look it up on the internet.
People should really know that, because then it just kind of lets you know, what calories you need to, how you need to make the adjustment in your calories. And these are things you can't just go into a gym, and I say this all the time, and just think you're going to work out and you're going to lose weight. That's not how it works. You've got to go in there with a plan. You have to know that you've got to kick it up, got to generate the energy and things like that, burn those calories, take the heart rate up, things like that. So, okay?
All right.
I'm at alina7.com.
Alina7.com. Thank you a lot, Lena Seven. As always, she brings us, to have a business, you got to be holistic. You can't, we've always said the best way to go out of business is for you not to be here. So we bring this health news so you can guys don't be over here filling up on patty pie 7 days a week. We just want you to eat it tonight at the First Friday networking event. Speaking of networking events, this next person coming to the mic, she plans to come out tonight and grace us with her presence at the First Friday. We're talking about none other than the Dr. Jillian Berry, and she is an author. But she's also, she had a life before she started writing books. I'm assuming you just didn't wake up. You weren't born yesterday. So I'm figuring you had a life before you became an author. So
absolutely.
Welcome to the mic, Reverend Dr. Barry.
Hi. Welcome. Pleased to be here. I'm very pleased to be here.
All right. Now, what is your profession, by the way?
I am a licensed clinical social worker. I've been a social worker for about 27 years.
27? Mm-hmm. You started me like 5 years old?
Oh, yeah. A long time, and on three different continents.
All right. So you're also an author. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we've been talking about this book now for about
a
month.
Thank you so much.
People have been stalking my office trying to get a copy. I had to give away the copy you gave me, by the way. So I said, look, we just did a contest, and so the copy you gave me, somebody just won it. Matter of fact, Ronald called in, and he gave us the answer to our question today, who signed the Voting Rights Act in 1965. You got that right. So we got another one here. Matter of fact, we're going to put it out here. We're going to have another book.
One? Yes.
We have another in. Black history question. Dr. Martin Luther King, what was his birth name? What was his birth name? We all know him as Martin Luther King, but he was not born Martin Luther King. What was his birth name? The first person calls in with the answer, we're going to give them a copy of The Righteous Sin. Call us at 301. I'm sorry, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. We have in the studio Dr. Jillian Barry, author of this phenomenal book. Now, tell us the name of the book and how did you come up with such a name in the first place?
I wanted to really understand what was going on for a lot of women, particularly Christian women. And so I was seeing similar problems that they were experiencing. And as a social worker, I wanted to offer a solution.
So you saw this firsthand. So you just didn't wake up one day with this in your head. You were seeing.
Oh, over and over and over.
These signs were manifesting themselves in your daily interaction with Christian women.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
But then I was also interested in the books by Zane, for example.
Oh, okay.
So I knew I wanted to have something which was meaningful and interesting and entertaining. And so think Zane meets T.D. Jakes.
Ooh.
So we have that spice.
That's not a pretty visual.
So we have that spice in terms of a book that keeps you turning the pages. But at the same time, it says something.
Now, you said Christian women. Is this problem unique to Christian women, or is it just that Christian women kind of sweep it under the rug, as we might say? Why Christian women?
Well, obviously, because my background is very much rooted in the church.
Okay.
So I wanted to have a character which many women can identify with.
Okay.
So the main character is a fundamentalist Christian, and she's committed to doing what God wants her to do.
Okay.
And so what she's trying to do is to understand why, when life hits, nothing that she's been praying for materializes.
Okay.
So I wanted to provide an answer to why that was.
Okay. Did you provide an answer in the book?
Absolutely, I did.
Now let's talk about this character. What's the character name? I don't give away the whole book because we want people to go ahead and buy it. We also have a caller on the phone who has the answer to our Black History question. The question was, what was Dr. Martin Luther King's birth name? We all know him as Martin Luther King, but he was born under a different name. And we have L from Virginia. L, welcome to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing fine. L, do you have the answer to our question?
Yes. His birth name was Michael Jr. He was named after his father. His father decided to change his name to Martin Luther and then change his son's name to Martin Luther Jr.
Michael, you sound like you wrote that book, man. You... Michael, that is exactly right. You have actually nailed it. That's the answer. He was born Martin. His dad was born Michael. And when dad changed his name, he also changed his son's name. Changed both names to Martin Luther, and that's how he became Martin Luther King. L, I want to thank you for calling in. I want to give your information to the engineer. We're going to send you a copy of this book, The Righteous Sin. I appreciate your listening. And where are you calling from there, L?
I'm calling from Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia. All right. Are you listening to the show regularly?
No, actually, this is my first time tuning in. I'm glad I caught it.
Well, welcome for the first time, and keep on listening and tell other folks, okay?
Will do, will do.
All right, LL knocked it out of the park. Man, he did. We got some smart listeners out there.
And I'm glad that he said that he was a first-time listener, because a lot of people who haven't been listening, they need to share the information with the people in the audience about the show.
That's right. We pick up listeners every week. Every time I turn around, somebody's stopping me saying, hey, you that guy I heard on the radio for the first time yesterday, and I'm going to be listening from now on. And so we are growing by bounds and leaps. And it's because of people like Dr. Barry in the booth that has increased our popularity, because we try to bring you the things that people are interested in. Let me ask you about this this being an author process. Now, what made you decide to become an author? I mean, was it a hard journey? Is it something that anybody can do? Do you recommend it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it was hard work. I'm talking about eight long years to produce this book. I wanted to say something, and I wanted to make sure that it was in a format that people could understand and identify with.
Because I know when you contacted me about two or three years ago to register the domain,
yes.
I thought you had the book ready to go then, but you were still working on it.
Yep, I was still working on it. I would pick it up, work on it for about 15 minutes, put it down, pick it up another, 2 weeks later,
and
I just kept going.
And I looked at the manuscript, and you made some changes since that manuscript.
So absolutely,
I did. It was an evolving process.
Yes, I did. All right.
Now, let me ask you now, the book itself is, how can somebody find it? And just give us one little teaser, if you can, to let people know what they can expect to find in the book.
Answers, but honesty.
Okay.
Love. Truth, direction. There's so many things, and there's so many layers to this book.
But in general, if you are a Christian woman,
mm-hmm.
and you have certain type of urges, you're wondering what's going on, why this is happening to you, is it me, just me, or is it happening to everybody? Why do I feel this way when I'm full of the love of God and this shouldn't be happening to me?
Absolutely. I'm doing the right thing. Yes.
Yeah, but something just pulling me in a different direction. I'm just mm-hmm. basing on what I gathered from the book, that this is a book that I think is a read. It's a fiction book, but there's a character named
Sister Georgina.
Sister Georgina, mm-hmm. and you've got to read this book. So tell us how they can find the book. Also, you have an event coming up. When is it?
Sunday.
Okay, tell us
Sunday
about
the 7th at 2 p.m. at Sankofa Bookstore, Georgia Avenue by Howard University.
Okay.
I'm having a book signing and reading, so please come along. I would love to see you. And you can get a copy of the book there, or you can go to the website, www.therighteoussin.com.
You can also go to marketingpulpit.com. We have Dr. Barry right there on the homepage. You can find out more about her website, therighteoussin.com. Click on that link and go ahead and get your copy. And also, she'll be coming out tonight to the First Friday. She's going to give us a quick
reading.
She's going to do a quick reading and give us a taste of this wonderful book. Dr. Barry, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Oh, no problem. I loved it. Thank you.
And also, you all come out to her book signing at Sankofa. Go to her website. Go to marketingpulpit.com and find out more about the book signing. Come out tonight to the First Friday, and also go to the website and pick up your own copy of The Righteous Sin. Dr. Barry, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. That is Dr. Jillian Barry of The Righteous Sin, and we have a caller on the phone. Welcome to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. All right, we're going to pick up the caller after the break. Also, don't forget, like I said, come out tonight to the Marketing Pulpit. Go to marketingpulpit.com and put your name in the books for registration tonight. We're going to be there at 6 o'clock. And do not be late, because we're going to have a full house. And also, we're giving out the slices of the patty pie, which is a sweet potato pie by Patty LaBelle. And we're going to call this a patty pie party. We're also going to have quite a few other interesting people showing up. We're having our host of the Saturday show, Coach Keith and Dave Owens. And we're going to have, of course, our guest, Dr. Jillian Barry. Go to marketingpulpit.com. Register. We're looking forward to seeing you tonight. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Jillian Barry. We'll be right back after the break. We're going to talk about social proof. Explain what happens with this patty pie and why it's so popular. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
1450 WOL.
Traffic slow in the Capitol Beltway due to a crash on the outer loop, Fairfax County, 50 Arlington Boulevard and Gallows Road between that stretch. On the Southeast Southwest Freeway, we've got delays westbound between South Capitol Street and the 3rd Street Tunnel. This traffic update is brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Each day, more than 1.6 million Americans suffer with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. Support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America to help and to find cures. Visit ccfa.org. The WOL forecast for today, cloudy with a high reaching 44 degrees. Clear overnight, 29 degrees for the low. And on Saturday, partly cloudy with a high near 48. Currently, we've got 39 degrees in Washington, D.C. This weather update brought to you by Maryland Auto Insurance. If you've been turned down or canceled by other insurance companies, check out Maryland Auto Insurance. They'll insure you guaranteed. Find an agent by visiting MyMarylandAuto.com. I'm Angela Foster on 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Boy, are you making history?
You got the spirit the wrong way.
Are you making history? Well, let's not just sit around and read about history. We have to make history. Told you earlier, I gave you a template. You fill in these blanks, and that'll tell us whether or not you're making history. Now, just because you're not on the headlines, just because people aren't beating down your door, you could be out here on Skid Row. You could be on poverty. You could be having a hard time making your monthly payments. But guess what? Most of the folks that make history, that's where they started.
Really?
You think Dr. King was rich? No.
Yeah, a lot of people had it hard, man, and that's what made them stronger, actually. And, you know, sometimes when people have it too easy, Robert, they get content.
And appreciate it.
They get content.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, here's somebody who's making history. We didn't even expect her to make history. This lady's making history in more ways than we can enumerate, and that's Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle was known with her group called Patti and the Bluebells. Remember that?
Yeah, LaBelle.
She and Nona, what's her name?
Nona Hendrix. Nona Hendrix.
And one other lady. And she made her first bout at history with that group as just a recording artist, as a part of a group. Then she went on her solo career.
Right.
Patti LaBelle became world renowned.
She was huge in the 80s.
That's right. And that wasn't enough history. Now she went ahead and came out with a pap. All during her singing career, she would always invite people down to her.
And
her
don't
home.
Forget, she's been an author too.
She's had cookbooks. Very successful.
Especially for people with like diabetes and et cetera.
Yes.
So
and let me give you an example of sometimes you're making history and you don't realize history is being made.
Right.
She was singing, but she was always talking about her cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She never said, "Look, I'm going to be a. You're going to remember me by my pies one day." She would just say when people come to town to visit her, she would cook them a meal. And word got out that this lady could cook. Well, of course, now somebody said, "Look, why don't you take that skill and turn it into a business opportunity?" And now after over the Thanksgiving holiday last year, she hit another milestone by just cleaning out the store shelves over at Walmart with the Patti LaBelle pie. And now she's making history again. So the lesson that I'm making here is that if you are constantly trying and working on something, if you're breaking barriers, opening doors, turning over stones that haven't been turned over, you have the potential in you to make history. I'm working with several clients right now. I just know history is being made. They don't even know it yet because I have this big old crystal ball in my office. I keep it hidden under the desk. Some come in there and the ball is not looking too good. I have to send them back to the drawing board.
Right.
But then there are others that walk in the door and that ball just jumping off. It's just vibrating and bouncing off the wall. And I'm just saying to myself, boy, I have a history maker in my midst. And some of you guys out there listening know who you are. Well, let's talk about this phenomenon that Patti LaBelle experienced. One of the things that's going to take you from just something that people are whispering about onto something that's going to become historic is this phenomenon called social proof. And as a marketer, I can tell you right now that if you have not, if you don't know about it, if you ever plan to make history, you better have social proof on your side. Now, sometimes social proof might come after you're gone. But social proof is a necessary ingredient for history making and for the making of a successful business. So somebody say, Robert, what is this social proof you're talking about? Well, it's a phenomenon where people look for others for the correct behavior in a given situation. They don't trust their own instincts. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Hmm. Here we are, grown people with degrees and history and all types of positive attributes. But something in us, we don't trust our own instincts.
Well, Robert, I sum it up where the goats can get it. Mm-hmm. I call it the dance floor syndrome.
Okay.
Okay, when you're out at a place where people are about to have a great party, mm-hmm. you'll always be in a situation where you have that one person
That's right.
who will go out there
start the
and
dance.
Start the party.
And
once that person gets out there, the party's on like popcorn.
The party is on.
Okay.
And it takes that one person.
And everybody's not that one person. So that social proof is generally where a lot of people may want to do something, but it takes that party starter to get the things moving and grooving.
Well, I'll give you another example, the tip jar. Mm-hmm. You go to you watch a performer, you got the little piano bar sitting up there, you got a little jar on the side.
Right.
And if that jar is empty, it's going to remain empty. So what do? They drop a dollar in there to get it started.
Right.
And when they see that first dollar, everybody else sees that dollar. Oh, I guess I'm supposed to drop something in here.
Right.
That's called social proof. Because we all want to make fewer mistakes. When we're faced with a decision to go left or right, if you look down one road and Robert Frost may have summed it up best by saying the road less traveled. The instinct is to take the road less traveled. To take the road that is traveled.
Right.
Because the road less traveled it looks kind of dark.
It's suspect.
It's kind of, right. It looks like it's a little murky. It looks a little dark, but the road that's been traveled, there's a path. There's, you know that people have gone that way before. You figure if they've gone that way, now they could have gone that way and been eaten by a bear, but you don't know that because
nobody's come back to tell
you. Just because everybody went that way doesn't mean it was right. But
right.
since you didn't want to make a mistake, you said, why am I going to go down this road with no footprints when all the footprints are leading that way, even though there was a bear down there eating you as soon as you got at the end of the road? That is human instinct.
Yeah. That's true.
So social proof is powerful stuff. Now, here's some of the degrees that social proof influences us. One, the number of people that are doing it.
Right.
If one person is doing it, it's okay. But if 100 people are doing it, that's even better. The more likely you're going to actually do it. The other factor is, how similar are these people to me? Let's say race. If every black person is buying a patty pie, then you're going to say, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have a patty pie too?
Right.
Okay, so the more similar the people are to you and the more of them there are, that's another degree in which you're going to be influenced. And the other one is the level of ambiguity or the difficulty presented by the situation. Like we said, if I go left, something's going to happen. If I go right, something's going to happen. That's an ambiguous situation. So if you see everybody, let's use that same example. There's 1,000 people. They're all black going that way. And I'm black too. But over here on the right, there's almost nobody. Maybe there's one or two people, but they're white. Just using race as an example, you're more likely going to follow the ambiguity part of following the black crowd of people that look like me. Okay? That's called the three factors that help determine whether social proof is going to have its impact on you. Now, so in principle, it means when I am uncertain, I will take cues from others. If other people are doing it, it must be okay for me to do. Also.
So if everybody's eating McDonald's hamburgers, I guess it's okay for me to eat a McDonald's hamburger, even though everybody else is going to the hospital to get triple bypass surgery.
Well, William, you brought up a good point, because here are some examples of social proof in action. McDonald's has a big old sign. I don't know if they still do it. It would say 4 billion sold.
Right.
Yep.
They were using social proof by the textbook. When you said 4 billion, well, hey, what's wrong with me if I'm not over in that number? There must be something wrong with me. The church collection plate. If they came to you individually and said, look, I need some money, then you probably won't have the same effect. But the fact you see that plate floating in front of you with all those money it, right. all that money in it, you're going to feel like an outcast if you don't put some money in it also. There was an article on the internet the other day about people were sleeping in sleeping bags again for a pair of $600 Air Jordans. Social proof.
Well, in March, Apple's going to introduce the iPhone 7.
They're going to be out there.
And they're going to be in lines.
iPhone 7.
See, Elena just got her iPhone that she's playing with now, and she's going to be out in line getting the iPhone 7.
Well, let's talk about how can social proof work for you. You don't have the power to go out here and put up a billion hamburgers on your sign or to have people sleep in front of your store. Not yet. But let's just say, how does a poor man get social proof going? We regular folks. First thing, and this is what everybody can do, I want you to start tomorrow. No, start today. Start getting those testimonials.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can't get testimony. You can't get social proof if nobody knows that other people are doing it.
And
if no one's talking about
it. That's right.
And then what I recommend even above and beyond that is put the social proof testimonials on steroids. Get audio and video testimonials.
Boy, you're exactly right, because that's one of those social media trends we're going to talk about tonight also, how to use things like live video to help further that social proof. Now, we're going to talk about this some more at the first Friday tonight, so come on out. We're also going to talk about how you can make history. We also like to thank our sponsors, people like Suncrest Financials, that's Miss Velocity. Visit them at suncrestfinancials.com. And also Sensory 3, home of the Rain Stick. Miss Pam Little, she's over there making history. You can call her at 240-573-7155 or go to sensory3.com. She was a guest last month on the show. You can also find her on the website. If you haven't already, go to marketingpulpit.com and register for the first Friday event coming up
tonight.
Tonight it's going to be real, it's going to be on, it's going to be something like you've never seen. I'm going to talk about the social media trends, 6 things you must know in 2016 in order to be on board this social media train. We're also going to delve into again into what made this Patti LaBelle pie such a phenomenon and how you can make history of your own by using some of the same tactics that she used to put herself into the mouths of so many people who are enjoying her patty pie tonight. Patty pie tonight. You can also, besides learn about it, you can taste this pie. We're going to have patty pie.
You better get there early because if you don't, Robert will have it all eaten up.
Right. Every minute that goes by, there's a good chance you won't get any pie. Folks, that's going to wrap up our show tonight. Thank our callers. Thank our guest, Dr. Jillian Berry. Come on out tonight to the Marketing Pulpit first Friday. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these 3 things. Do the right thing.
At the right time.
And you got to do it right, people.
All right, folks, enough talk. Let's get to work.